Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Welcome to Cutting the Distance Field Reports, breaking news from the Elk Woods. And now, your host, Jason Phelps.
Welcome to the first installment of the Field Reports here on Cutting the Distance. We are in New Mexico with Ryan Callahan, and we just finished up 7 days. First 7 days of September elk hunting here in a pretty good New Mexico unit, and just going to kind of talk about what we've seen out there. What was your takeaway from this hunt, Cal? Like, what was the kind of the overarching theme? What did we see out there?
Well, my first takeaway is why can you do 7 days of hiking and feel pretty darn good, really, and then wake up in a hotel and kind of feel like crap? That's a weird thing that we should get into at some point.
Yeah.
Early season, New Mexico, where it's hot, coming from like the Montana, Idaho methodology of try to find where it's cool, because that's where the rut action is going to start, because nobody likes to work too hard when it's hot. I always kind of come down here with the idea that it's going to be tougher than you think it is. And, it was tough in the social activity of the elk that we ran into, but it was easy in the finding of the elk. So my attitude was great the whole time. I was like, oh yeah, this, how could it not happen?
Yeah, we showed up, well, we were here two nights ahead, and then the night you showed up, we went scouting, bulls were bugling, elk were easy to find, and close to the road, far away from the road, and it's like, oh, this is gonna, it's gonna be going, and then we got into the hunt, and things just were pretty slow. Day one, we got into a few, active little pockets. That was one of the few days we've seen some, rutting action where, a bull was pushing some cows and kind of right on their tail, but.
Well, yeah. And specifically a cow,
yeah.
Right? Like he had a really cool 5-point. I think anybody would love to take. And he had a single cow cut off and was working her.
Yep.
And there were several other cows in the group. So that's really like the only distinct rut activity that I personally saw.
Yeah. Over the 8 days. And last night we seen, a large, well, a 5-point bull, not large, kind of running a spike off of the herd.
Yeah.
But like you said, other than that 1-5 running one specific cow, there wasn't, a great rut activity yet. Talk about the two biggest bulls we've seen, on day two or three, I don't remember what day it was, completely solo, right?
Yeah.
A bigger 6-point and a very, very large 5-point. completely, you know, off in a canyon with no cows in it. I don't think we ever did see a cow on that side.
No.
It just, I'm never one to say, you know, it's September, the elk are rutting somewhere, but these two bulls kind of, you know, knew that the party hadn't started yet.
They definitely did. And we got within, let's say, 100 and, if we wanted to be accurate in a lazy way, under 150 yards, for sure, of the 6 point. And, you know, certainly by body size, he'd be a mature bull in anybody's category. Huge fronts, you know, lots of mass up front, like just a big bull or on his way to being a really big bull. And he got a bugle in his bed and took off and ran the other direction.
Yeah, and we approached that one just prior to that. Prior to the bugle, we had let some real soft cow calls right above him. You know, the idea going into that is that there's a lone bull, you know, there's not a lot of competition. Maybe we can just coax him up here with some cow calls. And I think maybe 50 yards prior to us turning that corner, we had sent some cow calls down to him that 100% chance he heard those, plain as day. Didn't make a peep, didn't move, didn't snap a stick, didn't do anything. We moved 50 yards forward, let out a little bugle, and the next thing we hear is him kind of blowing the place up. And it's just, you can't make heads or tails of it. He's just not ready to be involved in the game.
Yep. Yeah, I guess we should be clear. Like, definitely more of a locator bugle, not a, I know you're here, I'm speaking to you, I'm going to kick your ass bugle.
Yeah, real mild whine, you know, real quiet kind of, you know, localized to that canyon. You know, we didn't want to blow him out because we really didn't know if he was even there. We were, I think, at that point kind of just assuming he wasn't.
Yeah.
And then we hear it blow up, you know, 125, 150 yards below us, and
yeah,
get to see his tail end as he rolled out of there.
And I think, yeah, the frustrating theme was when we could locate, or bulls were at least talking on their own, they immediately clammed up when you cut the distance even a little bit. Like, even when we needed, like, I think we got to be within, you know, 300 yards, but we need to locate again because we're not entirely sure.
Yep.
It was really hard to get any sort of conversation.
Yeah, and on the mountain, we talked to a couple other guys that have hunted this area a lot. One of the dynamics that we experienced, and I have to imagine it's not how September is going to end up, is he was surprised, just as we were surprised, the bulls that were running the herds this week. It's almost like we're in a pre-rut phase or something, because I can't imagine, you know, the bulls that are currently running large herds of cows and large groups of cows aren't going to have some bigger bulls move in. It made it difficult. You know, you had mentioned it last night, one of our last herds of elk we got to play, you know, six branch bulls together. You know, and then what I would consider medium to smaller 5 points running herds, makes it tough, I think, to try to hunt and get them, you know, overprotective, because a lot of these bulls weren't interested in fighting or losing what they might have for a very short time. So it changed that dynamic of, you know, being able to, you know, our go-to game, you know, locate, get in very tight and call. We would do that over and over and just kind of have them shut up or take their cows away or kind of walk away or,
And that's kind of you're really finding the needle in the haystack, right? The bull that wants to play the game, even though the game's not happening, because that situation last night does sum it up perfectly, right? There's six branch antlered bulls laying amongst 40 or 50 cows. It's like a late season herd. None of the big mature guys are there, or, you know, real big guys are there. So the cow calls aren't even that interesting, because these bulls have been walking around smelling all the cows and they're not ready yet. And they're not willing to break off and look, maybe because of the heat, maybe because of whatever. I have no idea. But it was certainly like took some of the tricks out of the playbook, I guess. So
yeah. You know, one thing we've always relied on here in New Mexico a lot is the water. You know, but it seemed like we were kind of running in, you know, just on the front side of the full moon. A couple nights we were near water you know, and things started to get going, but it almost seemed like the elk here were holding up. You know, they were smart enough. They weren't going to come to water in the daylight. You know, one of our best evenings, I think it was the second or third evening, you know, a lot of action, you know, going to water, a large group of elk coming from multiple canyons all meeting, you know, so it got pretty active. But even then, I think they were just not going quite enough that they just kind of dealt with each other. They kept their distance and they all ended up getting to water, you know, on their own or after dark when we didn't have a play on them. You know, made it difficult in years past here. You know, I think New Mexico's had some maybe record rains. I don't know if it's record, but they've got a lot of rain here in the last month. And it kind of maybe dispersed them, or there's water in different, you know, tanks, man-made tanks or natural water. We ran into some water last night we didn't really think would be down in that drainage. Yep. So I think it's maybe got these elk a little more dispersed than normal, which could also have played into, you know, a little less rut action. Than normal, just when you get all those elk into one spot, or you get that one cow into the one spot with multiple herds, it kind of gets things going. And we didn't seem to have as concentrated herds, you know, on that water, you know, compared to what I'm used to here in New Mexico.
Yeah, there was, I mean, just some absolute amazing elk viewing. I mean, you get up on a high spot, and you're gonna find elk. It's like kind of relaxing in a way that it's like, okay, the finding is almost guaranteed.
Yep.
But you know, we had a midday scenario on a smaller 5-point when we were getting towards the end, you know, thick brush, a scenario that I really capitalize on when I find it elsewhere. And was honestly very excited about that one. So we slipped in really thick brush. We were just going to do some soft cow calls, knowing that we were going to be in close proximity to a herd, and eventually got a cow to come up, but never heard a single bugle, no brush raking, no nothing, from a bull that, you know, just had to have been within earshot in there, you know.
Yeah, very, very close on that set. You know, I'd have guessed we were within 100 yards when we set up on that setup, and just, you know, not to have them just come check out middle of the day. You know, we were on that same elevation as them. You know, it was cool. You know, well, if it was long, in the shade, you could find the hot pockets. It was warm outside, but in that general zone, it was fairly cool. And yeah, to not even have that bull respond as we moved in that close and to, you know, have the cow come in, just, it seems
and not
strange.
Even respond by like checking your wind.
Yep.
Right. He didn't try to like cut up around us and wind the situation or smell the cow that all of a sudden started talking. And cause none of his other cows were talking. It's all based on assumption, and we've both been able to see bulls react to calls and how they react to calls, and a lot of times it is way different than the scenario that you put together in your head. But that being said, I have to come back to, you have like this freshman class of bulls, the JV team, let's say.
Yep.
They're in with the cows right now. They've already gone through their hierarchy and settled things out. The cows aren't playing the game yet, and they do not want to be challenged right now because they're having the time of their lives. They've been eyeballing these cows. It's rut season. Their testosterone, their hormones are going, and they're holding on to what they have, and they're not willing to take any risks right now because the big boys are going to show up, the seniors, the upper class, the starters are going to come in
and take the, yeah,
and take the cows. And these guys are just holding on to the good life for as long as they can.
You know, what's interesting, you know, we talk about stuff that we've experienced in the past, is even when those big bulls, you know, I think they do a lot of night checking, right? They come through at night, they run ridges, they check these cows. They know it's not worth their time, and they'll come back later and check on them. We couldn't even find the bigger bulls like off to the side though. Besides, you know, those couple times. So
yeah.
I've heard in this area, you know, maybe they come from a different area, or they drop down off, you know, off the mountains, whatever it may be. But that was one thing, like we couldn't even, you know, necessarily find bigger bulls. And as you mentioned, that JV class, and they just don't play the game like we were used to. We had a couple scenarios throughout the hunt. We ran the program perfect, right? We get in very tight. Me and you have both seen it multiple times when you get, I call it kind of getting the bull to break. You know, he finally, we're done playing this back and forth, and he comes at you. And you would think, you're like, oh, this is a done deal. I see him disappear below a dip at, less than 70. And the
they get that mass moving in a concentrated way. And it's like, oh, that is a committed animal.
Yep. Yeah. And so, you're ready, you put a little bit of tension on the string, you start to pull on your release a little bit, and you're like, should see him any minute. And then it was a couple minutes go by, like, is he taking his time? You're listening, like, he should be close enough. Here is, cracking a stick, moving grass. And in some of these situations, you never know what happened. He rolled into that thing, and he obviously didn't go your direction. He didn't go my direction. He must just peeled back to his cows. And it's like, that's what we were dealing with. He was, at one point we had him convinced, and then he goes back. He's like, I don't want to lose my cows that I've already got. And he peels off. We got to work a different bull. Was able to go up after him, and you were able to watch from across the canyon. And I felt, because I couldn't see the bull, that like we were fired up, like we were in the match. I got within 50 yards of his cows. He was within 100 yards, like the perfect scenario, as close and as tight as you can get. Never made a peep besides rolling a few rocks down the hill, but he didn't know we existed. The cows didn't know we existed. We hammer him with a challenge bugle. I'm from very, very close range. And, if you had asked me, I had him all fired up and ready to go. And then your observation was completely different from what we thought.
The bull is standing in his bed, resting his head on a limb that I can tell he does all the time. Like, it's a well-worn limb, and he's resting his head there, bugling off the limb. And then, he did rake brush a couple of times, but you could just tell that guy was like, I don't really want to do this. But eventually you did get him to come. But typically, like, if you were to like write it in a book, the most succinct way to say it would be like, okay, you're a bull challenging another bull for the cows. Get as close to the cows as possible. The bull is going to come check you out.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was the perfect scenario. You were within 42 yards of bedded cows.
Yeah, bedded one of his cows. And that's the thing. Like, when you run the game that way and you're closer to his cows than maybe even he is, and he's not between you and his cow, it's like, that's like the slam dunk. That's the, and it didn't pan out.
You may not get a shot scenario.
Yeah.
But you're going to get a bull coming in scenario.
Yeah. And just like, always seems to happen, it was a 5 o'clock stock. We knew we were playing, with the wind. We held it for long enough, but he stalled just long enough. I could finally see him coming down. But he stalled just long enough that, and he caught the wind before I felt the wind, but I'm like, why'd he turn? He was coming down to me, and, ultimately ended up getting winded on that. But it just, those scenarios, I get so frustrated with myself, but it's like, man, you look back on them, I don't know, I wouldn't have did anything different. I don't know what I could have did, what we should have did different. Same for you. We did get some opportunities. You had a bull, same thing, 25 yards, tipping his head, coming through brush, like it's a done deal. And then,
moves,
we get winded.
Moves his rack around.
I mean,
starts moving down. Yeah.
We've all seen plenty of gadgets and fads come and go, but here's one product that stood the test of time. Seafoam motor treatment. Lots of hunters and anglers know that Seafoam helps engines run better and last longer. It's really simple. When you pour it in your gas tank, Seafoam cleans harmful fuel deposits that cause engine problems. I'm talking common stuff like hard starts, rough engine performance, or lost fuel economy. Seafoam is an easy way to prevent or overcome these problems. Just pour a can in your gas tank and let it clean your fuel system. You probably know someone who has used a can of Seafoam to get their truck or boat going again. People everywhere rely on Seafoam to keep their trucks, boats, and small engines running the way that they should the entire season. Help your engine run better and last longer. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
We had opportunities, but I guess the overall consensus is for how hard we worked to come up with a few of these opportunities didn't seem to like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like we did get some, but we worked a ton and for how many bulls we were.
And we covered a lot of elk too. Yeah. That's the thing. It's not like one scenario a day, which is still great elk hunting. This is just like spoiled kid stuff. Down here, we ran into a lot of elk. We were able to run the scenarios a bunch. And it's definitely like humble pie.
Yeah, a big slice of it. It was, I'm never one to say the rut's not going yet or it's late or the moon's got it. I don't really, buy into a lot of that. It does affect it, don't get me wrong. But I just feel like things just aren't going it isn't in the full rut yet. Things are just kind of pre-rut.
We did move camp three times and maybe the answer is just move it a fourth time.
Yeah.
So it is happening somewhere. Absolutely.
It was a tough hunt. I don't know. Big humble pie doesn't taste good.
Yeah. Incredibly fun. Would do it again 100%. I think if I had some do-overs, it would just be, even though it sounds extreme right now, cause we did cover a lot of ground, it would be to just hit more pockets and it's very difficult to do, kind of growing up like you and I have in very lean times of elk where it's like, if you hear a bugle, that's an amazing,
a win for the day,
amazing day. You got to like disregard elk and keep moving. Like, be like, okay, this isn't a great scenario. These bulls don't want to play, and kind of being more ruthless, right?
Yep.
And it's hard to walk away from an elk.
Yeah, we mentioned it multiple times. It's tough to leave elk to find elk. One of those scenarios, like, why would we leave elk that we were on? But some of them weren't in great spots, they weren't killable, and at some point you can only invest so much time on certain ones. And so that your idea of we just maybe could have just kept walking and find the right party, find the right pocket, find the right cow, and that's what we were doing. Unfortunately, one of the things we fought too in this last area, which seemed to have the most amount of elk that we hunted, was terrain and vegetation. There was a little bit of a burn that went through there, and so while there were elk on every open knob, it seemed like it made it very, very difficult to play the game or even get in the position without being seen. So we spent more time looking at Onyx trying to figure out, he's probably gonna see us there. And then you'd get there and like, yeah, he's probably gonna, you know, we had to do a lot of just like, you know, hope, you know, cross through real quiet, which adds a level of difficulty, right? You know, we're playing out in the open, but yeah, I look back like a takeaway from this hunt. You know, I don't think we did, you know, one instance I maybe called to a bull too early, but we ended up, you ended up getting a play on him shortly thereafter. So it wasn't a complete loss. I don't think we did anything different, or I wouldn't do anything different as far as, like you said, maybe just try some different areas, try to find some different pockets.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, great tag in your pocket, great unit. The elk are here, and it is still elk hunting. You don't know what's going through the animal's mind. You don't know what just happened to them prior to you getting there. You're making the best educated guess that you can. And so, did I call too early? Well, maybe, but also maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's so hard to be definitive in this game because we'll never really know what's going on in between those fuzzy years, you know? So,
yeah, it was great hunt. We didn't blow out a lot of elk. We didn't get winded. Like, our wind was good 95% of the time. We moved in, got close. It was interesting. How everything played out. It's like you said, you got a great tag. Just didn't necessarily, work out in our favor too many times. So no, it was fun hunting with you. Really appreciate having you down here, Cal. And,
That's something I was thinking about last night. Cause we've, at least run in the same circles for quite a while. And it's, Can't believe we haven't hunted together prior to this, because this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun, and I think we were on the same page 99% of the time. So it's fun to hunt with somebody that thinks the way you do, or and a guy that thinks about every move. Some of my buddies, like, we're just running straight, straight line A to B to elk. Heck with the wind. Heck with if they can see. And so it's nice, like, hunting with a guy that you think we're on the same page most of the time. Like, we're gonna do this, or the wind's doing this. We got to approach this way, and so. Not a lot of disagreements and approaches, and
it makes things efficient.
Yeah.
Which is still like another like kind of knife to the gut. You're like, we were, for two guys that haven't hunted together a lot or ever, prior to this, we hit the ground running. There wasn't any headbutting, any strategy differences, both willing to roll with the idiosyncrasies and go. So I can't, we just didn't lose a lot of time anywhere. We were going despite the monsoons at the beginning and despite the heat for the rest of the week. And shockingly, I mean, maybe one or two elk we blew out, which is just bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Like, I mean, so, and we were trying it at, I would say we hit low, mid, high, and maybe we just missed out on extreme high elevations.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. I think this unit, we'll get better with some time, move the more mature bulls in and have some of those more semi-mature satellite bulls, pestering them or pestering each other. I think this unit's going to get a little bit better, but, good hunt, difficulty, big slice of humble pie, but September's early. We're still really early in September. It's only September 8th, 9th today. And so I have a feeling by the time we report back here in a couple more weeks, September, the rut's going to be rolling, on the backside of the full moon, all the little things that have, little contributing factors are all going to be in the elk hunter's favor. So,
exactly. Yep. There's, bulls definitely died this week. We didn't do the killing. There's people having success in lots of other units and lots of other states and this unit. But it's only gonna get better. There's gonna be, as these like harem changes take place and the dynamics, the social dynamics of these bulls running into each other and clashing, and the reorganization of the pecking orders come into play, and these cows start coming into estrus, you may be the one who just falls right in that big old rut party.
should get good. Well, appreciate having you here, Cal. It's been fun, and next time we'll have to go find somewhere in the mountains to do it.
Yeah, let's like go chase dinky bowls and units where anything is a great
exactly.
bowl.
There you go. All right, thanks, Cal.
Thanks.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.